Welcome to the Media Madhouse. I am your insane host, Randy Dies. Third day of the new version of the podcast. I'm continuing this on, and I am not getting tired of it yet. I hope you guys aren't either. A lot of earth-shattering news in the world of movies. One big one I'm sure you've all heard about. We're going to get to that today. And, yeah, I say let's not waste any time and let's get right into it. All right, first up, MGM hires King Richard writer Zach Bailyn to write Creed 3. Plot details are unknown at this time, but for me, anything that says that the Creed / Rocky franchise is continuing forward is good news. I love the Creed franchise. I love the Rocky franchise as a whole, and Creed is a big part of the Rocky franchise. Obviously, with Michael B. Jordan, we'll definitely be coming back, and it's assumed that Sylvester Stallone will be reprising his role. I hope that he does. I know that they've had a sub-story with Rocky. I'm trying not to say what it is in case you haven't seen the films yet. But in the Creed franchise, there's been this little subplot with Rocky, and I'm hoping that they don't do anything too extreme with that and keep the family together. I think that the dynamic and chemistry between Sylvester Stallone and Michael B. Jordan is absolutely amazing. Very, very, very believable father-son kind of a feel to it. So yeah, anything that says that the Creed franchise is rolling forward is a good sign for me and just gets me all tingly all over for it. All right, next up, Jurassic World 3. We were just talking about this yesterday. Apparently the director and co-writer Colin Trevorrow went on social media last night, or yesterday at least, and dropped the title for the new Jurassic World movie. Apparently, Colin Trevorrow said that the title for the third Jurassic World is going to be Dominion. I like the name. It definitely plays into the Fallen Kingdom. For the second Jurassic World, it was called Fallen Kingdom, and it definitely plays into that. Very fascinating for me. I love that. Obviously, Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard are coming back. We talked about, you know, a couple of the people that might be coming back for reprising things. But the biggest ones for me, besides the fact of this title, is the fact that Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum will be reprising their iconic roles from the original Jurassic Park film. And honestly, I said a little bit yesterday, and I'll say it again. I'm excited about this. It's no secret that I'm a fan of movies. Jurassic Park was one of my, if not my, it was definitely one of my favorite Steven Spielberg movies. And, you know, it introduced me to one of my favorite actors, being Jeff Goldblum. But the fact that, you know, they're getting the original cast back and they're bringing them with, Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard's character and everything else, especially with how the second one ended. I'm very, very, very curious to see where the storyline is going to go, because we've definitely, if we weren't in science fiction before, we've definitely jumped the shark on science fiction at this point with the Jurassic World / Jurassic Park series. Now, people might be arguing that, you know, well, it's always been that way. It's always been jumping the shark. Maybe, but not as much, in my opinion. There's always a little bit of truth that, oh, this could be believable. And then the last one, it's like, okay. But it's a fun story arc that they've got going with the Jurassic World franchise, and I'm very curious to see how life will find a way this time. So, guys, if you're interested in this, if you're not interested in this, you know, send me a message on the Facebook page, facebook.com/MediaMadhouse. Send me an email at MediaMadhousePod@gmail.com, MediaMadhousePod, one word, @gmail.com. Or send me a voice message here. Let me know what you guys think about all this. All right, next up. Rick Moranis returns. I'm very excited about this one. This is really cool. So, Rick Moranis, if you don't know who he is an actor from the 80s and 90s, and he has done such iconic films as Spaceballs, Ghostbusters, Little Shop of Horrors, and the biggest thing I think he has to his resume is the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids series. Well, apparently, after a 23-year hiatus, he's coming back. And not a big shock, he's coming back to the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids franchise, because they're calling it a reboot. I would call it a continuation, so more like a sequel, because it takes place, like a lot of these, after the original one. But yeah, we'll go on and talk about the new film in a second, but I want to talk about Rick. And just how much I love and respect this dude. He is by far, he's not the, like, you know, one of the greatest actors of all time. He's not a Daniel Day-Lewis. He's not, you know, a Tom Hanks. He's not one of those guys where you're just like, oh my God, he's just so, so iconic and amazing. But at the same time, he kind of is. He's like that guy that is in all these classic films and franchises that you're like, oh yeah, he was in there, and oh my gosh, I'd never forget. You might not necessarily remember who he is at times, but you remember the characters that he plays. But he walked away from the business 23 years ago, after the death of his wife, who passed away because of breast cancer. And he walked away for a very admirable reason. He left the business to raise his kids. And things, as he said in an interview in 2013, things just got really difficult to go to set, be a single parent, raising the kids and everything else. So he just stepped away. And if you're in this business, you know how hard of a choice that really can be. Even if you want to, for example, I guarantee you it was a hard decision. Because when you're an actor or a writer or a director, you're in the creative world. It's who you are. It's every fiber of your being. And to walk away from it for any reason, no matter how admirable, is hard. And the fact that he was able to do it, and for the reasons he was able to do it, honestly puts him on a pedestal for me that I have a great deal of respect for, because creative types can be very selfish. We, including myself into this, by nature are selfish people. Because why do we do what we do? It's not just to get the voices out of our heads, or exercise our demons in different creative ways, but it's also for attention. Anybody who's listening to this, who's in the creative world, who's an actor, director, writer, musician, performer of any kind, we have egos. We like to have those egos stroked. We like to hear praise, and we like to hear applause, and we like to hear, you know, worship and everything else. That's one of the reasons why we do it. Now, obviously, the core of it is the creative and feeling that sense of accomplishment and everything else. But there's a form of ego there too. And the fact that this guy could walk away from a very successful career. I mean, he was in a lot of big stuff. The fact that he could walk away because his kids mattered more to him than his ego. His kids mattered more to him than his career is unbelievable. I really honestly truly have a great deal of respect for Rick Moranis because of that. And, you know, the fact that he's coming back is great. Because honestly, I mean, I hope this is the first in many. Because he's coming back for the reboot, sequel, continuation of the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids series. And that new film is going to be called Shrunk. Yeah. Real creative in the titles, I know. Rick has done some other stuff. You know, he did some voice work. He's done some comedy stuff, like albums and stuff like that. He was in Brother Bear, which I actually didn't know, so I'm going to have to do some research on that and figure out who he was and everything else. But as far as Shrunk goes, the movie he's coming back for, he's going to be starring alongside of Josh Gad. Obviously a Disney movie, if you couldn't tell, because Gad's in everything Disney does nowadays. I wonder if he has an exclusive contract with them. But Gad's going to be playing Rick Moranis' son, who, like his father, aspires to be an inventor. So, yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to do something where maybe Gad is trying to create something and has a similar experience to what his father went through, and then he has to bring his dad in to try to fix the issue. I'm not quite sure. They're not really giving too many details on it, except for that short synopsis. And then also the fact that Joe Johnson will be coming back. And he's the original director of the 89 film, as well as Jurassic Park 3 and Captain America, the First Avenger, and a slew of other films, obviously. But again, to have Rick Moranis coming back after 23 years and reprising this role and continuing his career, honestly, I'm hoping that this is just the first in many appearances by Rick Moranis, because I think the guy deserves a second career. I think with what he's done and how he's done things and handled things in his life and everything else, I think he deserves to have a second career and a second shot in the biz. All right, then. All right, our next topic. Apparently, Harrison Ford is a big fan of the MCU. Whether or not it's the actual movies, I'm not sure, but he definitely wants the new Indiana Jones movie to have an MCU feel. The Call of the Wild veteran actor said in an interview, as far as Indiana Jones 5 is concerned, yes, they're making a fifth one. He said in an interview, "I don't really want to give them what they want to see. I want to give them something they didn't anticipate. They're used to a degree of disappointment when you revisit things.
certainly the Marvel movies have made a spectacular example of success. Yeah, wow, this interview is all jumbled up. Basically, he says that the Marvel movies have made a spectacular example of success that has worked and made people really excited about the franchise and the different installments. He says that he's not going to make another Indiana Jones unless we are in a position to kill it. We want it to be the best. We've got some scheduling issues and a few script things to do, but we are determined to get it right before we get it made. So, obviously, this isn't like an earth-shattering story or anything, but I thought it was very fascinating, especially with all the stuff that's been has been said about Marvel and about, you know, the MCU with Francis Ford Coppola and Martin Scorsese coming out and basically talking crap about them and saying that they're not real films or anything else. Harrison Ford seems to get what these other directors are missing, is that it, when you watch a Marvel movie, it brings back a sense of childlike joy. It brings back a sense of excitement. It puts a smile on your face and you get that butterfly feeling in your stomach. And obviously, you know, obviously Harrison Ford has had that experience. and this quote, these quotes come to me feel like somebody who saw something, has experienced these films and goes, I want that. That's what I want with my character. That's what I want with my films. And honestly, for an actor of his age, I mean, he's in his 70s now. For him to watch these Marvel movies, and again, obviously he's watched the films. Obviously he's seen the Marvel movies. Because you don't talk about it like this unless you have seen them and are in love with them. That's total fanboyism right there. I can totally see fanboyism in these quotes. And that works for me. I'm good with that. And it's cool hearing Harrison Ford. He's one of my favorite actors. I grew up with him. Han Solo, Indiana Jones. I mean, just those two alone. Then you go through the different films that he's done with Jack Ryan, Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, The Fugitive. I mean, Air Force One is one of my favorite movies, and it's just, it's that way because of Harrison Ford. He has a way of just putting himself into things and just making you enjoy the crap out of him. But the reason why I talk about this and talking about this quote, because most of the time it says, you know, whatever, somebody's talking about, they either want to be like Marvel or somebody they don't want to be like Marvel. The reason why it's interesting to me is because of the fact that Indiana Jones had that Marvel quality to it. I know a lot of people poo-poo all over Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I personally didn't mind it as much as everybody else seems to hate and loathe it. But the fact that he's looking at things from the reaction to the fourth Indiana Jones, looking at the fifth one and going, I want this reaction and this response. And I guarantee you he has that kind of pull. You know, I not only is his friendship with Steven Spielberg and George Lucas been, you know, well established, and his friendship with them for so long, that I'm pretty sure that whether he's a producer or not, he's going to have a say in something. And if his mindset is this way, then I'm honestly really encouraged by what we can expect from Indiana Jones 5. I'm really excited to see what they do with it, especially if he's going in there and holding Steven to the, we need to have this kind of feel. We need to make it feel like this. I want to go, when I see the movie, I want to walk out going, that's what I wanted. That's how I feel. So not earth-shattering. That one's coming up. But it's still a feel-good kind of story. And I think it's really cool that he not only is a fan, but also wants to kind of emulate that feeling and get that kind of response again with Indiana Jones. Well, you know that sound. That means is there's some big breaking news. Unfortunately, it broke yesterday before or after we did the show yesterday. So it's the big breaking news today. Bob Iger officially steps down as Disney CEO and is replaced by Bob Chapek. Chapek? Chapek. I want to say it's Chapek. Sorry. Bob Iger... anyone who knows me in my personal life knows how much Bob Iger has been such an influence for me. You know, it's not a big secret that I own an independent company, film company in Michigan. And honestly, Iger is somebody that I have really looked up to and aspired to be like. Whether I have succeeded or failed in that aspect is another story, but he's definitely somebody that I've been watching and going, wow, this guy is awesome. Definitely somebody to aspire to be like. But he's been CEO of Disney since 2005. He's been with them for 15 years. He took over for Michael Eisner. And let me put in perspective how much, and this is going to be kind of like a rant, but more of like a gush. And then we'll get into specifics on what is going on with Disney and everything else as far as the transition goes and from one Bob to another and everything else. But Bob Iger's worked for Disney as a whole for 40 years, I believe, something like that, 40, 43 years. It's been about 40 plus, put it that way. He, you know, started out working at ABC and just worked his way up and ended up CEO of the company, which is unbelievable, truthfully. But a lot of times I talk to people and they don't realize how big of a deal that Bob Iger actually is. Bob Iger is the one that got Pixar into the Disney family. They started working with, you know, Michael Eisner. Obviously, I mean, 1995 was when Toy Story came out, and A Bug's Life was a couple of years after that, and so on and so on. And there's an amazing documentary about Pixar. It was on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's on Disney Plus or not. But if you can find it, you really owe yourself, because it's really eye-opening as to what happened with Pixar. And it really started my, you know, love of Bob Iger, because it showed what he did. What he did as far as moving Disney into a different spot. Positioning Disney to the place of power that they are now. Because Pixar was not a part of Disney originally. And, you know, they were an outside company that would make stuff and Disney would basically put it out for them. And they weren't really happy with it. They were not happy with the deal. They were not making, they did not have a good relationship with Pixar. They back and forth between them. I mean, again, the documentary goes into great detail and you need to watch it if you can. It's absolutely amazing. But when Bob Iger took over in 2005, he's the one that reached out to Pixar and said, I think you guys need to not just be a part of Disney as far as your content and everything else, but I think you guys belong here. And obviously that has really paid off and been a very, very wise move for both entities. And I mean, that's just the start of it. After that, he's the one that got Marvel. And look how that worked out. He's the one that got Lucasfilm. And look how that's been working out. Whether you like the new Star Wars films or you don't, financially, smartest move on the planet. And now, obviously, with the 20th Century Fox, 21st Century Fox, or whatever it's under now, you know, that being a part of Disney as well. Add to that the ESPN Plus and the Disney Plus launches. Bob Iger is a legend in this business now. He is got to be one of the most successful CEOs of all time. If he's not the most successful, he's at least in the top 3 to 5 by far. So that gives you a little idea for me on how much this man means to me. I'm going to be getting his book pretty soon, and I'm going to be reading that. And honestly, like, I wouldn't be surprised if I do like a special after I read that entire book. And if you know me, you know, reading is not my forte. So it's only special occasions that I like to really dig into a book. But I really want to get some perspective on this guy. But that's me gushing. And honestly pointing out the fact that he is a legend. He is iconic at this point. He is, you know, he is definitely immortalized in history at this point. But he's stepping down from being the CEO. So when I first saw this story, I was like, no! Like, I turned into Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back. I was just beside myself. I was so upset, and everything else. But luckily, cooler heads prevailed, and I'd started doing some research. He had extended his contract a couple of times. He was supposed to be done a few years ago, and he kept extending his contract because of Disney, or because of Lucasfilm, and then because of Fox, and then because of Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus, and he just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. So basically what he said and what he stated and what his role is going to be with Bob Chapek, I believe that's how I pronounce his name. I hope so. Is he's stepping down as CEO, but he's staying on as executive chairman until 2021. So basically he's still in charge overall. But Bob Chapek will be doing all of the day to day, you know, all of the meetings, all of the, you know, just keeping house in order and everything else. And this frees him up, Iger, to be able to focus on the creative, which over the past year or so, I've started to notice that whenever they interview him, being Iger, he's constantly talking about, I mean, he talked about how he saw all of the Mandalorian episodes before they aired. Now, as a CEO of a company like Disney, he didn't have to do that. There are people who watch it and make sure that it's up to par. As a creative person, he would want, or as a CEO, he would want to watch them just to kind of see what, you know, they're doing and everything else, so that when he's asked about it, he can talk about the quality and the characters and all these other ins and outs. But watching the entire series, all 8 episodes, that's somebody who's just in love with the product. That's someone who is a creative, somebody who loves the process of storytelling in all formats and all media. And it seemed like over the past couple of years, like, he was getting more and more into, you know, oh, I've seen all of these movies and I'm constantly, you know, watching this and I'm constantly doing that. And it's one of those things where, for me, you know, this kind of makes sense. I mean, he's obviously going to be in charge until 2021 when his contract is up. But this way he's able to focus more on the creative, which seems to be what he wants overall. Because this frees him up to be able to maybe step in more and kind of keep the ships going the way they need to go in situations where they might need a little bit of redirecting. Star Wars. So to that aspect, I'm not upset. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty happy about that. I'm curious to see, as time goes on, how much involvement he's going to be on the, as he put it, the focusing on the creative, what his involvement's going to be in that aspect. But it's definitely something that I'm interested in. Now, as far as Bob Chapek goes, he was in charge of the Disney parks. Oh, also, you know, along with Chapek, who was a part of, you know, launching the, I believe it was the Shanghai Disney World. Another thing that you can add to Bob Iger's list of successes. Bob Chapek was there too. And he, you know, oversaw all of the Disney parks, which is not an easy job in itself. Obviously not as big of a job as running the entire Disney Corporation, but still, you know, Bob Iger was very, I gotta get used to all these different Bobs. Bob Iger was obviously instrumental in picking Chapek for the job. In that aspect, I respect and right now I'm going to trust Bob Iger on this one. Because honestly, I don't think he'd pass over his legacy, which honestly, Disney at this point is Bob Iger's legacy more than anybody else's other than Walt Disney's, in my opinion. So I trust Bob Iger is not going to hand it over to somebody that's going to basically destroy everything that he did. So fingers crossed, but I honestly, I'm excited to see what Bob Iger is going to do in the creative sense with Disney, with his time with Disney that he has left. And then I'm also very curious to see what Bob Chapek is going to do after 2021 when he has complete full control of what's going on and really kind of see what he does and where he adds or takes away or whatever else. But right now, overall, I'm encouraged. I'm excited. I think that this is going to be really an interesting time, and I'm glad that Bob Iger is going to be sticking around for a little bit longer. All right, guys, that was it for today's episode of the Media Madhouse podcast. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me. I'm having a great time. I hope you guys are having a great time as well. Guys, listen, if you haven't done it yet, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Media Madhouse. Like the page, be involved in the conversation. I post polls up there, try to get your guys' interaction, views, everything else. If you have a topic or a question, you want to talk about something that we've talked about on the show, or you want to bring something up that maybe I haven't noticed or haven't seen or haven't talked about yet, hit me up at MediaMadhousePod@gmail.com. Once again, MediaMadhousePod, one word, @gmail.com. Also, guys, if you have the ability or the interest, please consider supporting this podcast so that I can continue to bring you this content and expand on it as well and do other things. There's a support button on my Anchor page, and it would just be great if you guys were involved in that. Also, be sure to share this podcast so that other people and friends can know about it. Thank you guys again so much. I'll see you next time.